Yud Dalet Kislev, Sunday the 17th of November, Rabbi Hoshua Hartman, in a change from the advertised topic, Im Lovon Gauti, Vatariag Mitzvah Shamauti. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored, Lichvod Simchas Hanesuim, Shel Avram Zalman, and Shoshana Lea.
Okay, good morning everyone. I want to start with a topic maybe that some of you heard me speak about last week. It's a little bit of a chiddush, and then we'll take it maybe also to the original topic about Yosef. It says in this week's parasha, Rashi says what we read yesterday, Im lovan garti v'aicharat ata. So says Rashi, Im lovan garti v'tarek mitzvah shamarti v'lo lamati m'may savaroyim. Right? That's what Rashi says. The question I would like just to focus on is, why is he telling this to Esav? Why is he reporting to Esav that he's a big tzaddik? I kept Targ Mitzvahs. That's between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why is it relevant to Esav? That's question number one. Question number two, it's not such a great accomplishment, Yaakov, because your mother reached it at the age of 3. And you're today now 99. How do I know? Because it says in the beginning of Pashas told us, so it says Rashi, don't we know all the details that the Pasuk saying? Etc. So Rivka reached that feat when she was 3 years old. So what is Yaakov Avinu so proud of himself that he reached the age of 99? And he came to Lavan when he was 77. So I mean, if I would have been Esav, I would have answered back, listen, our mother did it when she was 3. So what's the grace of Gdula? And the last question I want to ask on this point is, that if you compare these two Rashis, by Lavan, by this week's Parsha, it says, V'lo lamati m'maisav haroim, when it spoke about Rivka and Parsha's told us, it says, Shaita bas rasha, v'achos rasha, u'mekomoya anshe rasha, v'lo lamda mima'asem. It doesn't say mima'asem ha'roim. Now obviously a rasha is ma'asem roim, but there Rashi did not feel a need to stipulate it and say it. How come by us, Rashi is saying, v'lo namati mima'asem ha'roim? So those are the three questions I'm going to start off with. I'm sure some of you heard me speak about this week, but I'm just using it as a springboard to later on. So, to answer that, I think I'll say a little bit of Nukudas Chidush. There's a Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin, in Daf Lamates Amud Beis, which Rashi quotes in the beginning of Sefer Ovadia. And the Gemara says, why was Ovadia the one to be a Navi to speak about the downfall of Edom? So says the Gemara, Yavo Ovadia, Shedar ben Shnei Reshoim, says Rashi, Acha v'Izebel, v'lo lamad m'ma'asem, V'inabe, and Rashi says in Ovadia, V'yipara, mimi shegar ben shnei tzadikim, v'lo lamad m'asem. Esav lived amongst shnei tzadikim. Who are the two tzadikim? Yitzhak and Rivka. Interesting, it's not mentioning Yaakov. It should have been shleisha tzadikim. But anyway, shnei tzadikim, v'lo lamad m'asem, right? Meaning, Ovadia is the one that could speak about the downfall of Edom, because he has a special credential which brings about the downfall of Edom, which is what? That he lived amongst Rishayim v'lo lamad m'maasem, and Esav has the opposite credentials, that he lived amongst Tzadikim and he didn't learn from those Maasim Toivim. That's what Gemara says. It's also Gemara in Yuma Daf Lamed Ches. So, when you don't learn m'maasim roim, when you're not influenced from your neighbors, you have the ability to bring the downfall of Edom. That's what you see from this Gemara in Masechet Yuma and Masechet Sanhedrin. That's what you see. Whatever the Hezbollah is, we'll see soon, but that's what it says. So this is what Yaakov Avinu is telling Esav. He's not coming to say, Stamich ben Agosha Tzadik. He's coming to say, I have the credentials that can bring about the downfall of Edom. I lived by Lavan's house, the Lola Manati, B'mai Savaroim. I have what Ovadia has. Just like Ovadia could speak about the Piron and the downfall of Edom, I have it as well, because I lived amongst Lavan and I didn't pick up his bad deeds. So he's telling Esav, be careful. be aware, don't start up with me, because I could bring down your downfall. That's what he's saying. Based on the Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin. So of course, if it's just an accomplishment that he had, his mother reached it at the age of 3. But if it's to say a piece of information that Edom should know, don't start up with me, that is something which is irrelevant to what happened to Rivka. Mimele, it's also understood, how come he has to say, what's Rashi saying, Maisim HaRoim? Because to sharpen the difference in the contrast to Esav. Esav, you lived amongst Tzadikim and you didn't pick up the good deeds, whilst I lived amongst Rishayim and I didn't pick up their bad deeds. So Zeh Le'umat Zeh, look at the difference between us. Therefore here Rashi adds the word, Mimaisav HaRoim. Masha Enkin, when he spoke about Rivka in the beginning of Parshas Todos, he says, V'lo lamda mima'asem. Obviously it's ma'asim, right? But there's no need to stipulate it, because it's pashut. That's not the point so much. It's just understood. It's self-understood. But here, it's bringing out the Zelu Matzeh regarding Esav. Okay. What's the pshat of that Gemara? Why is the downfall of Esav? Because he lived amongst Tzadikim and did not learn from their deeds. And Yaakov lived among, or Avadia lived amongst Rishayim and didn't learn from their deeds. And that will bring the downfall of Edom. Maketupo. What's the understanding of that Gemara? Because Avadia or Yaakov, Avinu, according to what we're learning today, lived amongst Rishayim and was not Mushpa, he'll bring about the downfall of Esav, who lived amongst Tzadikim and wasn't Mushpa from them. It's also a Rashi in Tehillim in Perek Lamed Zayin, Goy Loi Chosid. Says the pasuk goy loy chassid, which means it could be also a yid loy chassid, right? But a goy loy chassid, and it says it's speaking about Esav that lived amongst two tzaddikim and didn't pick up their good traits. So what does that show about Esav, and why is that his downfall? So basically, here's the insight which the Maral speaks about a few times, which is chomer or dover chomeri, or people who are on a madrega of a chomer are constantly changing. Constantly they go according to the fashion, they wear the clothes, they change it every few months. It's constantly being on a move and a change, because a choymer is loivish tzura, upoishet tzura, like it said, and a choymer is always being mulled by outside forces. That's the madriga of choymer. Tzura, or spirituality, is something which doesn't change. It goes on and on and on. For example, how come Yonah Hanavi did not want to go to Nineveh? To Benaba there, he says, because they're going to do tshuva immediately, which they did. He just said, Od 40 yom ninve nicheves, and they did tshuva. And Am Yisrael and the Nevi'im come, and we don't do tshuva. So Yonah thought it would be a kidruk in Am Yisrael, therefore he didn't want to go. That's what it says in the Gemara. Now, why is it so that we don't do tshuva so quickly, and Umas Olam do? Says the Maral, it's a negative manifestation to a very positive point. Ruchni doesn't change. Ruchni is something which is always there. Chomri is constantly changing. Every day is a different mood, a different thing. Today I feel like this, tomorrow I feel like that. Today I wake up at 7 o'clock, tomorrow I wake up at 10 o'clock. I just live it by the day, every day, a new kind of feeling. I don't have any consistency in my life. I just play it by ear. That's the madriga of Chomer. The madriga of Tzura is, for good or for bad, doesn't change. Consistency. I always say over this story with Rav Yoshi, right, that he used to have a hiding place, Rav Yoshi Zatzal, until a few years till before he died. He was there for many, many years, from 3:45 in the afternoon to 6:15. He would go up to a certain shul in Mea Sharem and learn there. And you weren't allowed to bother him, only if it's Pikuach Nefesh or Suffolk Pikuach Nefesh. And I knew about that hiding place, and once I had to ask him a question, it wasn't Pikuach Nefesh, so I waited outside. And I came there about 5:30, and I listened carefully to what he was doing behind the door. He was just learning Gemara Rashi with a beautiful niggun. Gemara Rashi, daf after daf. And then I went downstairs to buy a Coke or a drink about 10 minutes later. So the seller tells me, he points out with his finger, "You're waiting for him?" Like it was a known secret. I said, "Yeah." He says, "Okay, you got to wait till 6:15. "Yeah, okay, I'll wait." Then he tells me, "You know how I synchronize my watch? And this is why everybody does it according to the Chadashot." So I have something better than the Chadashot. When Rav Yoshi was going, it's 4:17. When Rav Yoshi was coming back, it's 6:17 for 39 years. That, and if you don't know anything else about Rav Yoshi, just that, it shows he's an Adam Gadol. consistency, day in, day out. Yes, the mood to learn, not the mood to learn, he's there. That's an outstanding manifestation of Ruchni. It doesn't change. It's constant. Consistency. Mimele, the Madrega of Am Yisrael, were called Am Kshei Oref. Says the Maral, it's a negative manifestation to a very positive Midah. The Midah is we're not so easily influenced. Now, we should use it only, it depends where you use it. If you use it towards a Kaddish Baruch Hu, that's a very negative Midah. But the idea behind it is that it's a Dover Ruchni. Now, we have an enemy that has Sina to us, is not Taiva and not Chumri, it's also Tzura. That enemy is called Esav. And it's brought out at its best by Amalek. Their hatred to Am Yisrael, or their relationship to Ra, is not just Chumri and Taiva, it's a Shita. They don't change either. We had in our Beis Medrash a few weeks ago, 2-3 weeks ago, Dr. Ephraim Zorov. He's the one in charge of, hunting Nazis from the Shimon Wiesenfeld, right? He's the head of it. And he told us something fascinating. He says people are asking him, are you still hunting Nazis? They're in their 90s today. They're old, frail people. And maybe, so why are you doing it? And they probably regret it already. So what do you want from them? Let them just die already. So he answered, the fact that they're old is not a p'tur. Then he said, what about the fact that maybe they changed their mind and they regret? He says he's been already involved in many Nazi trials. They never once expressed remorse. You never felt it once. Then he got up and said, I'm sorry what I did. It was wrong. Not once. It's a dover ayum v'nayim when you think about it. Because that's a tzura which doesn't change. It's not that they did it because they want to get the money of the Jews. Some kind of taiva. They want to get their homes. It's be'etzim. That doesn't change. A dover ruchni doesn't change. It's a dover shebe'etzim, which remains forever. That's what Chazal is saying. Our midah ruchnis of Yaakov Avinu, of not being mushpa from Rishayim, which shows a positive midah, will overcome Esav's negative midah, that he doesn't change also for the good. He's a dover ruchni, which constantly doesn't change. And therefore, Reishis goyim Amalek va'achrisoi adi oimet. Because he was the first goy to come and fight against us, he has no hope. The first goy means it's a shita, he came from far away, we were no threat on him, we didn't have anything to do with him, and he still came to kill us. If you think about it, Rabbi Yisai, to try to understand anti-Semitism, always the phenomenon when it happens the first time, that's when you see it the clearest. The first act of anti-Semitism was the war of Amalek against us. Because we were born in Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Jewish people, as the Jewish people, were born in Yetzias Mitzrayim. A few days later, Amalek came to kill us. Now, if you think about it, it's a dover ayum v'nora. He never met a Jew in his life. We were just born a few days ago. He did not even know that we have large noses. He never met one. He never saw a Jew in his life. He never spoke to him. Never had any business to do with him. Garnished. And he came to kill us. How do you understand that? People at the end, they are rational people. He came, it says, Vayobo Amalek, he came from a very far place, say Chazal, Obamot Parsa. The moment that we left Mitzrayim, that's the moment that he came towards us. And he met us a few days later. If you try to understand that phenomenon, so today you could say they know us, we're involved with them for, we're already 2,000 years in Golus, so they could say Jews are like this, or like that, and like that, and that's the kind they hate us. There, they never met us yet. Could you imagine you coming to kill someone that you never met? What's up under to that? Because their milchama is, they knew one thing about us. One thing. They never met us personally, but we're the people of God. That they know. That's enough. They're the people of God. We're not. This is the Sina of Yaakov and Esav. Why didn't he get the brachas, etc., etc.? But it's a Sina be'etzem. So therefore, Yavo Ovadia, or let's add Yaakov, that has this midah of tzura that's not impressed and changes, and what does he do? And it's not, meaning the Madrega Ruchnis, and he could overcome the enemy, which has the midah Ruchnis Lera, that he never changes. He can live with Yaakov, with Yitzchak and Rivka, and it won't make a boo of a difference. Because by him, the Avera is not just Chomri, it's a Shita. And once it's a Shita, it's a different ballgame. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, in the Kovetz Mamorim, when he speaks about that the Nazis came into power, and he himself perished in the Shoah, and he says, I'm asking Mechila from HaKadosh Baruch Hu if I'm not getting it right. He says, you know what I think, why now we have this kind of enemy? That a shita is to hate Jews, not just stam, but it's a shita, because we started developing shitas not to keep Torah. That's what he said. It used to be someone to keep Torah because they had taiva. But he's speaking about the reform, the conservative, whatever, that we have a shita that we don't keep Torah now. It's not stam achbin abal taiva. A person abal taiva, it's okay, it's bad enough. But he doesn't have a shita out of it. A shita, how would you say shita in English? A what? A principle. Struggling with Yetzirah. Okay. But suddenly we developed a mahalach, he says, that we don't keep Torah mitzvahs as a principle. As a principle, you know, the Torah change, whatever, what they used to say. Ah, we're going with principles, we'll have anti-Semitism with principles. That's what he said. And he says, if I'm making a mistake, the Eberstein should forgive me. That's what B'chon Avasman writes in the Kovetz Mamorim. Okay, now let's go a little bit weiter on this Nakuda. What does it mean, Im Lovan Garti, V'Tarag Mitzvah Shemati, why really is Taryag the letters of Garti? What does it mean? Let's go a little bit into this Nakuda, and then we'll connect it to Yosef a little bit. What does it mean? Why? Taka, we know that a gematria, numerical value of is part of what it's about. There's 613 mitzvahs which spell the word Garti. What does that mean? Vushtedo. What does that mean? It means, you saw the voice say, that mitzvahs do not belong in this world. That's what it means. Mitzvahs are always a foreigner in this world. They may be beneficial, of course, for schal mitzvahs and so on, but the idea of mitzvahs is that you're building a world that still has to come. You're involved in building something new. Ein lecha mitzvah b'Torah she'ein t'chiyas sameisim t'luya ba. The Gemara in Kiddushin and Daf Mem. Every mitzvah is not from here and for here. It's here, but you're building something there. That's like the Ramban says in his Hakdama to the Milchamos, our Torah cannot be proven in a mathematical way. That's what he says. Ein chochmaseinu chochmas hatishboris. That's what the Ramban says. You can't prove it in a lab. You know why you cannot prove it in a lab? Because what you can prove in a lab is if it's here. So if I want to show you that this food is healthy or this food is unhealthy, I could take you into a lab and I could show it to you. But if you put on tefillin, I cannot show you in a lab why tefillin is very helpful for you. In La Sidlova, I'll be able to show it to you loud and clear. There you'll see exactly what tefillin does. And this world, since it's not here, how can I prove it here? It's not here. Therefore, all mitzvahs are gerim. The whole ma'arechet, the whole system of mitzvot, not just this mitzvah or another mitzvah, the whole taryag. Taryag mitzvah is called garti because it doesn't belong necessarily to this world. It's a foreigner. A ger is not only a convert, it means a foreigner. The Pela Yoyet says that if a person comes to a new neighborhood, a Jew, and he doesn't know yet anybody, he's new, he has a din of a ger. And there's a mitzvah, the haftim is a ger, towards that Jew as well. That's what he says. What, he's a Yid, he's a Ben HaChaben to who knows who, but he's a foreigner in this neighborhood. So you have to mekarev him, and you mekarev the mitzvah, but I have to misager. This concept, that mitzvahs do not belong in this world, is expressed by the idea, garti. Tarek mitzvahs is something which does not belong here. I'll give you an example. Why is it so that if you put your hand into fire, you're immediately punished? It hurts immediately. If you speak Lashon Hara, you don't. Why is that so? So you could say there won't be Bechira otherwise. There won't be Bechira. But is there something more to it? How come if we do a Beris, nothing happens to us? And if we do something wrong, if we jump from the third floor, we get hurt. What's the Chilik? So the Maral says in the Bar Gur, I'll tell you what the Chilik is. And whenever you violate the rules of the world that you're living in, the repercussions are immediately. That's how it is. But if you're violating the rules of a different world, so the repercussions take a time till they come. I'll give you an example. Right? I'll give you an example. If I would walk in Damascus, in Syria, next to Bashar Assad. What's the name of the son now? Bashar, yeah, Bashar Assad, Russia, with a big sign, down with Bashar Assad. In 2 minutes, I'll be finished. But if I walk with that kind of sign here in London, no, it won't happen immediately. Maybe he'll send his agents against me. After a month, he'll reach me. If I'll do it in Eretz Yisrael, he'll never reach me. Why, when I go with this very same sign in the streets of Syria, the repercussions are immediately? And if I go with that very same sign in New York or London, it will take a while. And if I do it in Eretz Yisrael, he'll never reach me. Because the rule is pashut. When you're violating the rules of the venue that you're living in, the repercussions are immediately. If you walk in the streets of Damascus, with a sign, they'll get you in 2 seconds. Because those are the rules of that place. And the repercussions will be as when you're not in that world and you're violating those rules, the repercussions come later. Says the Maharal, that's the come. When a person puts his hand into fire, the repercussions are immediately because he's violating the rules of Olam Hazeh. You're in this world and you're violating the rules of this world. But if he doesn't keep Torah mitzvahs, which is terrible, but he's not violating the rules of the world that he's living in. And Olam Hazeh, what are the rules? You should eat well, sleep well, exercise, you'll live. Hi, I'm speaking Lashon Hara. Terrible, but it won't have an effect on your well-being in this world. Because in this world, it's Olam HaGashmi. And Olam HaGashmi, the rules of Ruchni do not apply. As immediate. In Olam HaVi, you'll see what will happen. In a world of Ruchni, if someone will speak Lashon Hara, something, again, the repercussions will be immediately. Each world with its repercussions. That's what the Rav says there. So again, bringing out the idea that mitzvahs are, of course, we keep them in this world, but they don't belong in this world. They're out to bring us to somewhere else, a different location, a different destination. It says in the Gemara Maseches Shabbos of Kuf Tzayin that Talmidei Chachamim are called Banoim Sheboinim Olam, that they're building a world. What does it mean? Which world are they building? Olam Hazeh? Not necessarily. They're building the world that will be. So therefore, there's no proof to our world, and therefore mitzvahs in this world are a gel. Namely, it's a different system, which is in this world, but it doesn't belong to this world. I can bring another example that the Ra'al says at the end of Perek Tes in Gvuras Hashem, that we say over there in Davening, Ala Tzadikim, Va'ala Chasidim, Va'al Zikni Sheris Amcha Beis Yisrael, Va'al Klihat Zofrem, Va'al Gerat Tzedek Va'aleinu. Why the ger mentioned before us? A ger could be a adam gadol for sure, but it's not because he's a ger. Why are the ger mentioned before us? You know, when you come to a Gudas Yisrael convention and you see in the dais, you see in the mizrach, you see the al tzaddikim, al chasidim, v'azik nishir samcha b'yisrael, v'apetat zofrem. You don't necessarily see a department of ger there. V'al ger tzedek v'aleinu, and then we come. Why is that so? Says the Maharal in Gvuras Hashem at the end of Perek Tes, a big yesoid, he says, Ki ha-sechel hu ger ba-oilam ha-gashmi. In the terminology of the Maharal, sechel doesn't mean brains, it means spirituality. Spirituality in the world that we live in, the Gashmizdika world, is a ger. Ki ha-sechel hu ger ba-oilam ha-gashmi. In the world that we live in, what makes sense? You know, this is the standard is physical. This is physical. The hat is physical. Spirituality, what is it? Where? What? It doesn't make so much. It's a ger. It doesn't fit in to what's happening in the world. We all understand that someone should go to university, get a profession, and make a parnasa. Of course, makes sense. What about sitting and learning and going to kollel? I'm not now saying yes or no, but what is that? What? You're sitting and learning and going to college. You gotta live in the real world. And the real world is you gotta get a profession, make a parnasa, and be well to do. Because in the Olam HaGashmi, those are the rules. Now try to explain the concept when Rav Aaron Kotler came to America and tried to introduce the concept of Torah or Kotel in America. He has Sechel Hu Ger, but Olam HaGashmi. Ruchnius doesn't make sense here. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't belong here. Spirituality does not belong in this world. And if there will be, if it does exist, it always will be a minority. Always. Right? Ra'iti bnei aliyah, what does the Gemara say in Masechet Sukkah? Vehem mu'atim. They're always a minority. Whenever I hear about a yeshiva that's opening up, only for mitzvahim. So I laugh. There's no such thing. There's no such a thing, a yeshiva, only for mitzvahim. And because of the divide. It's always going to be divided. There's going to be 100% people. The top 10% will be mitzvahim, and then the rest won't. That's always going to be the case. Always. Ra'iti bnei aliyah, vehem mu'atim. Spirituality in this world is always a minority. Shevet Levi, which is the Shevet of spirituality, was always the smallest Shevet in Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael in general, ki atem hama'at, mikol ha'amim, were always going to be a minority. The Moral says in verse Hashem Perak, hey, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the Musar Elam? He should have just created us. No, no, no. In this world, Am Yisrael will always be a minority. He says, I'll give you a mashal, take your body. So if you weigh, let's say, 90 kilo, that's average for us, that's a little bit, maybe a little bit of, let's say 90 kilo, here it goes according to stones. How much of that, of the 90 kilos, is your brain? How much? 1 or 2 kilo. So 90 kilo and the brain's only 1 or 2 kilo? Wouldn't it be better if we just all would have had just brains with the little feet walking around, and like a cockroach was out? Or we should be brains with the little feet? Who needs this whole little body? 90 kilo and 2 pounds, 2 kilos of brain. Says the Rambam, that's how it goes. In this world that we live in, Ruchni is always the minority. You can't have a whole people in this world, just brains walking in little feet. Zelo yilech. And you'll have a whole goof, and the brain will be a small minority. That's how it is. Am Yisrael will be a small minority. Shevet Levi will be a small minority. Ra'iti bnei aliyah fehem mu'atim. That's the rule. In the days of the Gemara, they said it. So Kavachom in our days. So Mimele, what the board is, Im Lovan Garti, V'Tarek Mitzvah Shamarti, it's not just being cute. It's not just one mitzvah. We're speaking about the whole system of Tarek Mitzvahs. It is something which does not belong in this world, and it's always going to look a little bit odd. Someone who's very much involved in Ruchni, we may say on him, as a plashtikl modne. Er nebuch meant ernst, like they say in Yiddish. So he, I don't know what he wants. So if he's going around and making money, he's going around having a good meal. Yeah, going around and Ruchni. What is he doing here? He's a malach, right? I always give the example of Moshe Feinstein in America. Was he part of the American system? He didn't speak a word of English for 50 years. So was he part of the American melting pot? That's how it's called in America. No, he didn't know what the NBA means. World Series, Super Bowl. He didn't know what they meant. So what's his status in the United States? He's a foreigner. He's a ger. Any Adam who's Ruchni, when we look at him, he is a ger. That's what comes, says the Maral. Allah tzaddikim, Allah chassidim, v'azik neshi yasamcha b'yisrael, v'apetat sofrem. They're all gerim. Mainly the Gerim have a lot more in common with those people than we do. We're mentioned last, va'aleinu. Ki ha-seichel hu ger ba'oilam ha-gashmi. That's what, so the order is, meaning all the Chofetz Chaim was a ger in this world. He had a shaykhus to this world. He really did. He understood very well what's happening in this world. He was a tremendous pikeach. But the lifestyle that he lived is nothing to do with this world. He was shooting to somewhere else. Okay. So we're mentioning the gerim. Okay, what we say? They're all gerim. Right? Rav Yoshi was a ger. Rav Yosef was a ger. Sitting and learning the whole day. Why? Open up a company, make a business, and have money. Well, what are you sitting and learning the whole day? That's not the rules of Olam Hazeh. So it's a foreign rule. So these people personify gerus. Therefore, the gerim are mentioned before us, says the Maral, to bring out this idea that every ruchni is a ger. It doesn't fit in so well in this world. To the degree that the Tariag Mitzvah is called Garti. I'm a ger. And that spells out the word Tariag. So, that whenever we do something and people could say, you know, it's strange. It's a little bit. I'm not saying there's a mitzvah to be strange, but I am saying we explicitly do not fit in so glut into this world. We don't. we're different. Once we already have our own state, look what happens. Right? Israel's different. It's not a regular state of the United Nations. It's just not. Everybody knows it. It used to be, I had to study for the Bakrut when I was studying in Israel, that they thought, the secular Zionism thought, that we'll have our own country and our own state and our own flag. That was a big word. Degel. So then we'll be like everybody else. And then they won't hate us anymore. Once we'll be like everyone else, they'll like us. That's what they really believed in. Because we're a bunch of people, a little bit here, a little bit there. But if we'll have our own country with our own army and our own economy and our own flag, we'll be like everybody else. So why should they start up with us? Then they'll like us. No. So now the state of Israel was founded 60-some years ago. It's the last anti-Semitism in the world. How come whenever there's a vote in the United Nations about Israel, it's always 170 against 2? Ki ha-sechel hogel ba'olam ha-gashmi. We should just remember that our destination is not this world. This world is only a prosdor. And Metz Hashem, we're going to soon come to Traklin, and then we won't be anymore ger. Okay, call to it.